I rotated back from Vietnam. I came home in November 1968. To explain returning from something like that to what we used to call real life, or what we used to call the world. That's what we called it, the world. It's almost impossible to explain to you what that's like. It's like you set foot on the ground and you've been terrified everywhere you go, whether you're asleep or awake, whether you're in a base camp or in the jungle, whether you're riding in a Jeep or whether you're sitting in a mess hall having dinner. There's always that expectation that at any minute something bad could happen. And then you're supposed to come back and just deflate and think you can be all right, and you just can't. It's not possible.
What was it like for you that first week back?
It was wonderful and terrible. I got to see my daughter. She was maybe, not quite 2 years old, sleeping. So when she got up the next morning, I went to sleep, and she got up the next morning, and she shook my arm and said, "Are you my daddy?" And I said, "Yes, I think." And she went in the living room, and she looked at me sort of funny, and then she went in, and she didn't remember. She's less than two. She picked up a photograph that had been in the living room, and she walked back in the bedroom and held the photograph up and looked at the photograph and looked
She's
at me.
She's making sure.
You're right. And so she must have decided I was okay. So that was wonderful. She brought me her rabbit to show me her rabbit. So that part of it was terrific. My mother and father were both alive, and it was wonderful to be back home and be with family. The hard part was they had all these events planned, and I really didn't want to see anybody. I didn't know I wasn't okay, but I wasn't really okay. I was not sleeping well. I wasn't normal, quote, normal, unquote. I don't know what that means, but I didn't want to be around a lot of people other than my immediate family, and I was very, very uncomfortable socially.
Were you afraid to tell people that you had been in Vietnam?
A little, yeah. We had been, several of us got spit at the San Francisco airport. One guy tried to throw some paint on somebody, not me. We actually had a, I don't know if you'd call it a fight, but it was a confrontation in the San Francisco airport. I got on a plane in San Francisco. I was exhausted. I mean, I'd been in the jungle for, a couple weeks straight.
And you're wearing your army fatigues.
When I got to San Francisco, I was. And I wanted to shower and change in the San Francisco airport, which I did. Put on my dress uniform and got on a plane to go to Baltimore. There was a man sitting next to me, and I had folded up my jacket that was the identification that I was military and put it in the overhead bin. And he started talking to me, and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. And he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Sir?" He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm in the Army." And he said, "Where are you going?" And I told him I was going to Baltimore. And he said, "Where have you been?" And I at that time, I was a little naive about it. And I said, "Vietnam." And then he stopped talking, and I sort of fell asleep. And when I woke up, he was gone. The stewardess, they called them stewardesses and not flight attendants, the stewardess came over to me and said, "I'm going to get you a meal." I'm sorry. I need to.
It's okay. It's okay. Take your time.
Okay. She said, "I'm going to get you a meal from first class because my brother's in Vietnam." And I said to her, "What happened to the man that was sitting next to me?" She said, "Well, when he found out you were in Vietnam, he got up and moved. He didn't want to sit next to you." When this man, who was obviously a businessman, got up and didn't want to sit next to me, that was like a culture shock for me. So that's an unpleasant memory. And so that even made me more reluctant to be around people. And all people would want to do is want me to talk about the war, and that's the last thing in the world I wanted to talk about. That's why I didn't like to go out.
So let's fast forward to the fall of Saigon.
I remember being home the night that they showed the fall of Saigon on television in 75. I was literally physically sick to my stomach. And to this day, I have a hard time watching the footing of that tank going through the gate of the embassy. I just can't describe it to you. It's almost like it takes away all the feelings I had about the things that we did and why we did them and the people I lost. And it's just, you sort of say to yourself, how could this happen after everything we did and after all those people, all those families who lost brothers and sisters and children and husbands and, you know, how could this be? So it's probably one of the unhappiest days of my life.
You know, Mr. King, it's no secret the Vietnam War has such a mixed legacy, for a lack of a better word, in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you want people to know about the servicemen and women that...
Thank you. There's a lot I want them to know. I want them to know, number one, that every one of those people made huge sacrifices. I don't know whether it was easy to go to Canada or not, but I know it was hard to go to Vietnam, and it was hard to do your duty in the midst of all that huge public pressure not to. So I want people to know how good the people were who did their duty and served their country. I also want them to understand that all this propaganda that they hear about us having lost that war is not so. We didn't lose that war.
How would you describe it, then?
Militarily, we won that war. I would describe it as psychologically we lost it because the American people, the public, lost heart. And I don't blame any one individual for that. It was kind of a group psyche. I'm not one of these people that blames the media or... You know, I might blame Jane Fonda. I certainly don't have any fond feelings about her, although, and I do feel what she did was inappropriate and horrible, and I'll never forget that.
And I believe, though, she has since, has she apologized? Or?
There's some things you can't apologize for. It's too late. She never should have done it. And to apologize to us at this point is a waste of effort.
And for some who may be listening, it's that Jane Fonda took a picture,
sitting on an anti-aircraft weapon in North Vietnam with North Vietnamese soldiers, presumably aiming at American pilots flying off of aircraft carriers and out of American air bases out of South Vietnam, which would have killed Americans or made them prisoners if they had been shot down. So I...
You will never forgive her for that?
Nope. I will not.
When you think about that 40 years ago this week, as we talk about the fall of Saigon and the Vietnam War and all the conflicts and opinions and debates about it, but now you seem there's a little bit more of, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a little bit more of pride when you talk about it, when you talk about your involvement. And
that's true. I never lacked pride in what I did, but I realized that the average civilian didn't understand and blamed soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines for what they felt was an unpopular war or a war that never should have happened. So because of that, and because talking about wars and your experience in a war is a very painful experience, I put it away for many, many years. It was somewhere in the mid-80s that I began to open up about it and start to believe, why am I sitting here not defending what we did? And it all started with a group called the Atlanta Vietnam Veterans Business Association that I joined somewhere around 1985 or 86 with my fellow Vietnam vets. This group numbers more than 300 people, and we've done so many good things I can't even tell you. We worked at the USO during the Afghan and the Iraqi war. We met servicemen. We do these History Center interviews for soldiers, sailors, Marine, airmen from all wars.
You're an interviewer for the Veterans History Project.
I am.
At the Atlanta History Center. Is it easier for them to talk to you and open up and maybe share stories because you've been there?
I can't say that for sure, but I would almost bet that it is because of that, because I can tell you I have been interviewed by two other Vietnam veterans, and it would have been much, much more difficult for me to have done that interview with somebody who was not a Vietnam veteran. They understand. We understand each other.
Gary King, thank you so much for coming in and,
thank you.
And sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today.